Our gospel lesson this evening comes from John's gospel, the 13th chapter. Before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them fully. Jesus and his disciples were sharing the evening meal. The devil had already provoked Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had given everything into his hands and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the table and took off his robes. Picking up a linen towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he was wearing. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand later." "No," Peter said, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't have a place with me." Simon Peter said, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus responded, "Those who have bathed need only have their feet washed, because they are completely clean. You disciples are clean, but not every one of you." He knew who would betray him. That's why he said, "Not every one of you is clean." After he washed the disciples' feet, he put on his robes and returned to his place at the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you speak correctly because I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. I've given you an example. Just as I have done, you must also do. I assure you, servants aren't greater than their master, nor are those who are sent greater than the one who sent them. Since you know these things, you will be happy if you do them." When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now the human one has been glorified and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify the human one in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I'm with you for a little while longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jewish leaders, I also tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. I give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What does Jesus see when he looks at you? I've heard a variety of answers to that question. Years ago, I heard a preacher at a youth camp say to a crowd of teenagers already struggling with image and self-doubt that when God looks at them, he hates what he sees because of their sin. And the way that this preacher understood grace was that Jesus covers you up so that the Father sees Jesus and not you. I hated that sermon. Because when Jesus looks at you, he sees the one whom he loves. He sees the one who he created in the beginning, and his heart is filled with desperate love for you. When Jesus looks at you, he sees his child. When our children mess up, hurt us, and hurt themselves, it causes us deep pain, and we still love them. Oh, do we ever? We want them to make a better choice or come back home where it is safe. We might drive them crazy or they think we're overbearing, but we love them. When Jesus kneels before us, he is looking us in the eye and asking, "Do you love me?" And when Peter begins to refuse this because this is role reversal, and everyone else should be washing Jesus' feet. Peter knows the right answers. He went to Sabbath school and got his perfect attendance badge. He knows who is higher and who is lower on the totem pole. And servants wash feet. But Jesus says, unless I wash you, you won't have a place with me. And then we know Peter's response, right? Wash me, Jesus, my head, my hands, all of me, as only Peter can respond. Friends, the way into Jesus' presence is to allow him to love you. The way into Jesus' presence is to allow him to love you. And here's the deal. Jesus will not force it. He won't make you sit there while he washes your feet. Simon Peter knew the answers, and you would have thought that by now he would get it, right? And even though Peter knew the answers, he could not at first accept the love. My friends, it is one thing to know the right stuff about God and about faith. It's another thing to be transformed by relationship with God. It is hard to accept forgiveness and to stop beating ourselves up. Anyone who is married understands this. I find myself messing up in a variety of ways. Lately, it has been by being in a grumpy mood for no obvious reason. It probably has to do with lack of sleep and getting woken up by certain people in my house during the middle of the night, and a dog. But anyway, you know about him. When I come to my senses and apologize to my wife, she tells me she forgives me and moves on. And I want to replay it over and over again. I demand to hop on the guilt train and beat myself up and rehash the event and therefore my mood again. And Laura will say to me, I've forgiven you. It's done. That is love. It is secure. It is a fortress. It is patient and kind and forgiving and doesn't keep a record of wrongs. The only way that I participate in that love, however, is by accepting that forgiveness. I have to accept that I am who she sees me as, and not that I am the mood that I was in. But for a lot of us, we echo this idea. We say that I want to do something to show you love. I want to perform something for you, or I want to buy you something to show you love. We feel like love is a debt that we need to pay back to someone so it becomes even. Jesus wants us to show him love by letting ourselves be loved. This is love. It says in 1 John, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice that deals with our sins. Jesus first loved us. Friends, this relationship that we have with him is a dance. In partner dancing of any kind, there is always a lead, an initiator. That person gives a slight push or pull and initiates the sequence of movements. And when you're watching a really good couple dance, you don't even see these first movements because the dance is so seamless. Jesus is always taking that first step toward us. We don't get to say, no, Jesus, I'll be serving you first. Instead, the only way that we can truly love him and have a place with him is by letting him wash our feet. Tonight, the most awkward part of this whole foot washing practice is likely not doing the washing. The hardest part is allowing our feet to be the ones washed. It feels too intimate, and we are self-conscious. And since we don't do this in culture anymore, it's just kind of strange. But imagine if after washing someone's feet, you didn't allow them to wash yours. If you can't accept the washing, Jesus says, there isn't a place with him. Receiving gifts, especially large ones, can be really hard. Once again, we feel indebted, like we don't deserve it. But friends, gifts by definition are not equal exchanges, right? And we do not like that. We want it to be fair. So when God lavishes love on us and his son, who is going to be nailed to a cross and go through excruciating grief and pain on our behalf, when he bows before us to wash our feet, we want to be like Peter and say, no way. But Jesus experiences deep joy in giving to his beloved. He wants to give this gift of his life and his love to us. He doesn't force us to accept it, but to accept the washing begins the adventure of relationship. Friends, this is why it's fun to give gifts to children. They don't try to give you an equal gift in return. They just love getting the gift. They are happy with the new toy. Really happy. I saw it 2 days ago with my 3-year-old. Like really happy, like won't look up and pay attention to anything else, or keeps trying to just open the next thing and plow through it. And they're not concerned if the gift that they will give you costs the same dollar amount that you spent, like those silly gift exchanges we do in our families, right? We place a limit on it. Y'all, we might as well not give anything, right? When Jesus sees you, he sees one whom he loves, one whom he'll die for. The greatest challenge over these next days is this: accept his love. Accept his forgiveness. Accept his service. Amen.